Hi, friends. The world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey everybody, this is the Hocus Pocus live panel that I did at Creature Feature Weekend about a month ago. Just a heads up, at about the 45-minute mark, the batteries on the Zoom died. So one of two things is going to happen at the time that I'm editing this. It's either just going to dramatically cut at the very end, or the audio is going to shift for the last 10, 15 minutes. I did see that someone uploaded the full panel on YouTube, and I might try to rip that audio to patch out the last 10 minutes so that you can hear the reunion Q&A in full. But this was a really great time. I hope y'all enjoy it. And of course, I mean, Hocus Pocus 2 is dropping on Disney Plus this week, so that is also very, very exciting.
Hello, everybody. My name is Matt Kelly of the Horror Movie Night podcast. I know I'm the main reason why you all came here, but I did have a couple friends that decided to join me from Hocus Pocus, so I thought maybe they'd join us and introduce themselves real quick. And then we've got a mic in the back for Q&A. We're going to talk a little bit up here, but if you have questions, start lining up in that mic in the middle area, and we can start throwing to you in like maybe 10 minutes.
Testing. And we won't be able to see you because it's so bright.
Yeah, no, it is like testing staring one, into two. An eclipse right here, but it's very exciting.
Are you calling us an eclipse?
I'm calling the lights an
eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
You're so bright. Gotta wear shades.
That is true. Oh, my God. It's like looking at the stars.
That would actually
let's introduce each other real quick. I did my job. I'm Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Put my phone on silent. How's that?
Okay, I'm Vanessa. I play Allison in the movie. You may have seen that.
Yeah.
Omri Katz, Max Dennison.
Oh,
and other things. Marshall Teller.
Yeah.
Stan from Matinee.
Yeah.
John Ross Ewing III from Dallas.
Apparently, Allison has a last name, and I've forgotten it, but super fans may know it.
Anyone know her last name?
Allison last name.
Shaw. Yeah, exactly.
You guys.
Allison Yabos Shaw.
Allison Yabos.
That was definitely her nickname.
Huh. Swimmy.
I just go by Yabos.
Well, Jason, thank you for breaking the tension with that, because I want to jump into the first question. What did you think when you saw the word Yabos in the script that was describing you?
Me? Oh, yeah. I thought you said Jason.
You did say Jason.
Well, Jason broke the tension by mentioning Yabos, so.
What's going on with your Yabos now?
I'm 47. That's what's going on.
No. I don't even remember that in the script, actually. Do you remember in the script?
Is that just a Thora riff?
You're asking me if I remember the script. By heart, every line, every single
yeah,
detail.
Yeah, actually, I really don't remember it being in the script, and I don't think it was a riff by Thora either. But I do remember that moment. A fan was asking if we cracked up during that part of the shooting of that scene. I said, I think during the rehearsal, because Thora Birch is so precocious and funny. She just, you know, all the time I would laugh at everything she'd say, and she's like, what's so funny? No, I don't remember it. Maybe
right.
I blocked it out.
Yeah, buried it deep down. And Jason, you still haven't officially introduced yourself, but...
Hi, I'm Elijah Wood. You've seen me in all the Lord of the Rings movies. I had a cameo in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
No, I'm Jason Marsden, voice of Thackeray Binks. Hello, everybody. There are no virgins in the audience, I hope. Make sure you cash in that V-card before All Hallows Eve. This makes my life a whole lot easier. Thank you.
Oh, wow. That's good.
So while we're waiting that for... line in the movie.
So we're waiting for people to line up for the Q&A portion of this. I do have to ask, I saw this movie in theaters, which I later found out was a rarity. The movie was kind of just like a modest hit at the time, and I think part of it was they were releasing a Halloween movie in July, which was a weird call, but like over years it became this massive thing. Do you remember when you realized that the movie had like really taken this whole second life with the fans who found it on tape and on cable?
I really feel like someone should actually put in the research and do it, because it is kind of, it's hard for us to really recall, but I feel like it was probably a combination of a couple of things. One being the people that watched it in the theater, like you and all of us here, you know, started having kids and then showed them the movie. And that's when it started to kind of have a groundswell from there. Also compounded with Disney Channel coming out, as well as ABC Family, which became Freeform. So I feel like you could watch it anytime. And I think that's probably what most movies are experiencing. Like, streaming just brings popularity back to everything. And a channel dedicated to, like, children's movies, of course. You're going to show it. And now it's, like, every, you know, day on of October, too.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
Freeform.
31 days.
Freeform's 31 Days of Halloween should just be called the 31 Days of Hocus Pocus.
Because
it is every day for that
every
whole
day,
month.
Yeah. At least once a day.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Because that's, I mean, it's kind of head-scratching.
I can't pinpoint. It's like, you know, watching your child get older, you can't pinpoint exactly, like, how the consciousness changes. It's, I mean, I just remember people mentioning it every year. It just kind of got bigger and bigger. Going to stores, you'd see Hocus Pocus merchandise kind of pop up and get greater. I guess I kind of measure it by how many people send me pictures of their televisions every October. It's like, look what I'm watching.
Me too.
You get that the most. I never get people taking pictures of their TV.
It's just their TV. Look what's on, look what I'm watching right now.
Yeah. Guess what I'm watching right now. Like, take a few guesses.
Is it Erie, Indiana?
During October. Totally Erie, Indiana is my first guess.
Yeah, that's on 31 Days on Freeform.
On Disney
is just
Plus.
The reruns
Such
of
a good
Erie,
show,
Indiana.
Erie,
it
Indiana.
Was,
oh, thank
any
you.
Any Erie, Indiana fans in the house?
Yeah.
Me too.
I was a fan before I met this kid.
That was from like the weird Erie, Indiana was from that weird time where kids television, it was like that and Pete and Pete, where they were just so out there for a kid's show to be on television.
Well, better weird than canceled, but unfortunately we did
but
both.
That's
unfortunately,
what happened.
Unfortunately,
unfortunately that's what happened.
Both.
My God.
Yeah, it was like Twin Peaks
canceled,
for kids.
Dead,
it was such a strange
thing.
Show.
It was. It was like Tom Sawyer meets Twin Peaks.
Yeah. It was very little bit of X-Files. It was great. But we're not here for your Indiana, unfortunately. We are here to talk about Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
Again, microphones up there for any of the Q&As. I'm sure that you all have cues that you wish that they will A. So in the meantime, do you have a favorite memory or moment from set? Maybe even just a line read that has like sat with you for decades now?
Not necessarily. I just kind of feel like anytime we got to work in the Sanderson house, because that set was just amazing.
Yeah.
It was all hand-built, all, like, you know, no movable walls. It was just a solid, amazing set. And anytime we got to work in there was, I feel like, the most exciting for me, personally. So.
All right.
Me too. I mean, I hate saying this because people are like, what's the specific one? And I'm like, is it okay if I say every day that I went into work, it was so much fun? Mm-hmm. You know, because I grew up watching Disney movies, and for me to be in a Disney movie just blew my mind. And again, as Amr is saying, the set was impeccable. Like you had, when you walked in, it was the whole bit of, you know, the area surrounding the Sanderson, his sister's house. Like it was the river and the water mill, and you know Billy the Butcher's grave is in the corner, like far over in the corner, and then you know the gate to the graveyard was in another part. I mean, those are just the major pieces of the movie were in that one soundstage. And I think maybe your room was in 2 or 3. So there was soundstage 2 and soundstage 3. I think 3 was like his house.
Or the interior, obviously.
The interior, yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like going into the Sanderson sisters' house and being in there, like my favorite part of shooting that movie was the scene when you bring back the witches. Thanks. but like every bit, you know, you don't see that anymore in movies where you are literally having practical effects. You know, the CGI is what you have to imagine, the floor moving and the wind blowing, and it's basically all that was happening, and the green light in the ground. And, you know, I think, if I recall, Kenny was just yelling, bam, lights, blam, lights, and the lights were going out, but everything else was there. Like, the sound of and just the wind blowing and the floors moving and the green lights flashing in your eyes made you feel like you were in the moment. And, you know, you don't get to feel like that anymore as an actor. You really have to portray that you feel a moment more nowadays. So it was like a pleasure for me to experience something real in a scene versus imagining it.
It's something real to react off of, yes. Well, I did get to visit the set once before I was cast. I don't know if you all realize that wasn't me in the beginning as a boy. It's amazing. Sean Murray.
He just turned brunette all of a sudden.
Did, yes. And shrank about 3 feet.
I thought you got some work done to your face, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, work done and shrunk. But I did. I was working on, I think it was Boy Meets World, on the same lot, and I knew Omri and Vanessa, and I knew they were working on this movie, so I went on the set to check it out, and I was there when they were shooting that opening shot of Sarah Sanderson, that big wide shot, low angle of the cottage, and Sarah Sanderson arrives and runs in, and her cape kind of flows over the camera. I was there for that shot, and yeah, it's in a soundstage. It's a very impressive set, you know, inside, but it's outside. I don't know how they do that. Movie magic. And I was there watching you guys in a car, like portion of a car, being chased by Winifred, to my surprise, was actually Bette on wires. I thought she'd have a stunt person.
Oh, I remember that.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Kind of crashing in the car. Yeah. But that's the only couple of times I was there. But that was before I even worked on the movie.
Yeah.
Just crashing, seeing what was up.
Well, I mean, you brought up.
World was on that lot? Mm-hmm. I thought it was Home Improvement.
But both of them. Yeah.
Home
them
Improvement was.
Oh, okay. Wow. What a time. Home Improvement.
No. Uh-huh. What was the one you said?
He's like, hello,
wait,
I'm interviewing.
Hello.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was somebody else.
So you
this
did bring up.
This is how we are all the time.
You brought up Bette Midler.
We love each other, but sorry. Now you're included in the conversation.
You brought up Bette Midler. It is worth asking, like, you know, you hear these stories of making these types of movies where it's kids being scared by witches or monsters, and sometimes the actors and actresses are like, oh, we never want to interact with the kids off set because we want them to, like, buy our character and be scared of us, but then other times they're very welcoming. How were all three of the actresses playing the Sanderson sisters? Did you get to spend time outside of filming with them, or was it very much like you pretty much met the Sanderson sisters, you didn't really meet Bette and Sarah and that.
Well, you have to remember, we were actually 16 years old, playing 16-year-olds, and Thora was 9, so we were minors, and we had
only... She was 11.
Oh, she was? Oh, she's playing a 9-year-old, sorry. Anyway, so...
Movie magic.
So, you know how to calculate? I don't. So you know, we were minors, so we only had 10.5 hours of shooting that we could do. And so they had like 5 hours of makeup they had to do. So it was like barely ever did the two paths cross because they were, you know, by the time we were done and they were ready, they were shooting and we were done. So there was just, we always had to imagine them in the sky. We weren't actually interacting except for a few handful of times, like her like in the shot. If she's in the shot or if I'm, you know, doing the circle of salt, then they're there. But otherwise, we're just seeing them in the makeup trailer, which was fun because I saw Sarah Jessica and Kathy, and they would always ask me, do you like acting? Do you want to do it for the rest of your life? I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm meeting my idols. But what were you going to say?
Did you? There was a TikTok that some young man did doing a fun review of Hocus Pocus, and the shot of you throwing the salt around it. When it gets to you, he's like, "She didn't just throw it; she performed it." That cracked me up. He said, "Yes."
That was fully Kenny.
Was it?
It was, because I feel like he just amped up our performances a ton.
You're telling me he did like the High School Musical films, kind of choreographed you spilling salt? That just seems strange to me.
I mean, that's his background. He was a choreographer.
Yeah.
He always wanted to bring that kind of animation out of us in order to really make it more theatrical.
Yeah, you look at his resume and there literally couldn't be a better person to do Hocus Pocus, honestly. Like, pulling from like his background in musicals and his background in Gilmore Girls, and then you combine that into like Hocus Pocus, and it's just this perfect New England choreographed, very theatrical movie. It's brilliant.
You can tell the witches are kind of moving in sync at some points, and there is a music to the way that they're working off of each other.
Yeah, they had a choreographer for that too.
I love it. I love it.
It's actually shocking that there has, with the way that we're turning every film franchise into a Broadway musical, I'm shocked that there isn't like a Hocus Pocus musical.
Just wait. I know. It'll happen.
It'll probably happen after this.
If you're listening, Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess we can address the elephant in the room too. We're just a month away from Hocus Pocus 2. I have actively avoided anything about it, but are you all involved in Hocus Pocus 2?
I guess you're going to have to wait and find out.
Oh, boy.
No, we're
not. That's such a Max Dennison.
No, I've already made a public statement. I actually got in trouble.
you were saying.
Really? Yeah. My agent called me, which was awesome, because when she calls me, it usually means I booked something, but she's like, TMZ wants to know if you're going to be in the next Hocus Pocus movie. I was like, no. She's like, okay, thanks. And then, like, immediately afterwards, they made it sound so dramatic. Jason Marsden says he will not return for Hocus Pocus 2. Like it was up to me. And then I got a lot of messages on Instagram, so I made a video being like, hey, you know, my agent said this, but, you know, I'm happy. No one asked me. Why would they? Binks is.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how do you retcon Binks back into the movie at this point?
Sure.
I mean, anything's possible, then.
Yeah, it's true.
Possible,
it is magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that in the table of contents in the glossary at the back of the book.
Yeah, it's like if they come back, everything's reversed.
Binks back.
Sure.
Again.
Yeah.
But I've seen the trailer. I think it looks pretty good. I think it looks sinister, and I think it holds to the. What I want for a sequel for this so many years later. And I think it'll be fine without us. I think it'll be just fine. It's all about the gals, I think.
Yeah, I think we all want to see them again.
Yeah, for real.
We've been waiting patiently to see them again, so it's about time.
It's like a month away, right?
Yeah, September 30th.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly,
get my
paycheck from Disney Plus. Do we have any questions lining up with the microphone just yet? I literally cannot see. So
no,
okay, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I sort of requested this of Vanessa earlier, but I wanted to throw it out to the rest of you. There seems to be a real lack of bonus features along with the movie. We'd really like to see a lot more behind-the-scenes footage or interviews about an example of what you're doing today. I was wondering if you guys would ever think about getting together just on your own, have popcorn, watch the movie, and record a commentary track.
Sure.
I'm down. A really good idea.
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like bouncing off of that, when I saw the movie in theaters, and I don't remember the details now, but I remember that there was a ton of stuff in the trailer that's not in the movie, that like in the moment that I was sitting there watching, was there a lot of stuff that you remember filming that like when you look back at the movie, you're like, where did that scene go?
No.
Personally, I don't. I mean, we're talking 30 years ago, so.
Yeah, come on, think.
Lots of brain cells gone.
I can't remember. I think there must have been like bus driver stuff taken out, stuff like that.
Okay.
None of our stuff.
It would
be
interesting.
Well, you guys were gold
in
every scene. They didn't need to. It was those amateurs that were playing the Sandersons that were messing up scenes. You guys were in there.
Yeah. Yeah, but it would be cool to like go to the cutting room floor and see bloopers from like those times.
Sure.
I'm kind of curious because.
It's definitely the most beloved film that has the least amount of special features on any
it's
release,
true.
I think.
It's true. And there, obviously, because people told me, I hadn't seen it, but people told me on the 25th anniversary that there are the behind-the-scenes footage that's on there.
On the DVD or the special bonus edition something.
Something like, right?
Something like that. Little
just
bit.
A little bit.
I know. I think Disney.
I should ask my mom. My mom was videoing so much. Like even Thor's mom was like, "You should put that together," because this literally was. She was documenting it.
Larry Bagby, who played Ice, was actually videotaping some stuff behind the scenes. He put stuff on his Instagram. So to get all your behind the scenes footage and put it on.
I know, right?
Submit it. I don't think Disney actually realizes still like what it.
Or maybe they do, and they're like releasing it slowly for marketing. More, you know, Disney is a corporation, and money is their number one priority. So,
do we have another question up there?
Yes. Hi, it's Sarah.
Oh, it's Sarah.
Hello,
Sarah.
It's me. I want to know: does Binks like belly rubs?
Does Binks like belly rub? Who doesn't? I was once a boy, you know. I think I was about, let's see if I remember correctly, I was about 13, 14. We were going through puberty before you turned me into a cat. Yes, I'm sure I like lots of rubs.
Thank you.
And TMI.
No wonder I haven't been invited back for the sequel.
It's in your rider.
All right, we got another question
Needs
up there?
Needs rubs.
Yeah, I was wondering, for this movie being a Disney film, after you think you killed off the Sanderson sisters, you kind of start celebrating, and there's a little bit of a scene where you're seen running across the fountain from Friends, and then you see Max Dennison and Binks are talking near a fence post, and if you look carefully, you see the Griswold's house in the background. So it's like, why did a Disney film end up on a Warner Brothers lot? Do you know the... Why? Was it reshoots?
I don't know why they make deals like that.
Well, no, Warner Brothers had actual locations. Disney only had studios. I mean, sound stages. So Warner Brothers had, like, literally streets of houses, you know, that are famous houses that you've all seen exterior-wise. And, you know, even that, obviously, that lawn. was famous afterwards. Like Friends came out after Hocus Pocus.
So you're like the original.
So we didn't even know that, and we didn't know the Griswolds were there either. So
it's not uncommon a studio to visit other studios because of their, you know, whatever they have available. Yeah, Disney only had soundstage. They had a backlot for a second. I think Newsies was like the last time they used that backlot, and then they tore it down. But Warner Brothers and Universal has a plethora of. Of exteriors.
And 20th century.
Yeah, I remember Clock Tower, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, Clock Tower,
Sorry.
Oh,
I'm
Universal, yeah.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Yeah.
We have someone else.
No, it's still Sarah.
Sarah's back.
Sarah, what are the questions you must ask?
Binks, I want to know how was being a cat.
It's the crazy cat lady.
Did you like our spell?
What was that, Sarah?
Did you like our spell?
Did you like your... Do I like your spell?
Yeah, did you...
No, I'm heavily traumatized by this. 300 years I had to walk around to figure out how to talk. I figure out how to get people to give me food and waiting for some airhead virgin to light a candle so I could end this horrific story. No, extremely traumatic. But I do like belly rubs.
It's so good that we warmed Binks up later on in the movie. A little uptight. I guess 200 years will do that, too.
300.
Oh, 300.
325 years, and who's counting?
I have another question. Do you guys have any kids?
Yes, I do. And he does.
Can I have them?
I think she
wrote a
song
type five.
I put your spell on you. And now you're mine. Oh. I forget the rest.
No. You got to sing Come Little Children. That's your song, lady.
Yes.
Oh.
Lady.
Whoops. I mean.
She's like, I'm kidding.
So now that the kids question has been breached, have your kids seen Hocus Pocus? And what do they think about it being your voice and you in it?
I think my son has seen it once, and he is... not nearly as impressed as you guys. You know, I'm his dad. You know, that's who I am. I'm not. You know, I annoy him, and that's about it. That's about it. Your son is way too young.
He's too young. I was telling someone he saw Lightyear with his grandmother this year, and he was scared. So I'm like, maybe not Hocus Pocus.
But he has seen Eyes Wide Shut, which is, I don't think that's a terrible way to introduce him into your work, Vanessa. But
I mean, Hocus Pocus, even for 1993, was a pretty shockingly dark movie for a kid's film.
Yes.
It's that Mick Garris writing.
Yes, like, yes.
Did you know that it was originally even darker written?
No.
So
can we talk about that for a little
bit? They upped up the comedy for it, obviously appropriately so, for the three witches who have comedic timing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the original script, I don't know if, I'm not going to ask him, but it was darker. It was darker, and now, when we were about to shoot, it was just a whole different script. It's amazing.
Just a massacre across Salem, dead bodies everywhere.
No, it was just like the witches were scarier, probably longer in the tooth, even more.
Well, and you were saying that because of the shooting schedule, you really didn't get to spend too much time with the Sanderson sisters, but you did get to spend a lot of time with Doug Jones, really before Doug Jones was Doug Jones.
Yeah.
This was such an early thing in his career. What was Doug like on set? I know that I've met Doug before, and he is quite literally the loveliest human being you could possibly meet.
I think he's the worst human being
that is just,
that ever walked the earth. He's the meanest person I've ever met. He's so difficult to work with. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
If you have a chance to get hugged by Doug Jones, you should take it.
I
heard
know.
Someone once tell me it's like being hugged by a spider, and that is the exact way to describe it.
He's literally, like, in my top five of best humans I've ever met.
Yeah.
Yes, he has been the same.
Yeah.
Literally, he was...
I love that guy.
I mean, basically many years younger than him, back when we were 16. He's 30, so old. You know,
he showed up and you were like, it's Mac tonight, guys.
Look, I know. I did not know that he sang that until like
Mac.
3 years ago. I loved Mac tonight. He on set was so embracing and loving and so fun and funny and super gangly as he is still to this day. Mm-hmm. So he would just kind of cut up and do like robots every now and then.
He's a contortionist. That guy can fit, well, at least used to. I don't know about nowadays, but he could literally fit into like a 2x2 box.
Yeah.
And he's like 6'5".
Yeah.
What is he, like 6'5"? Like,
something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's crazy.
He was a former mime, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
nobody like him anymore. He's amazing.
Movement specialist.
In personality
and
in his ways he can contort his body.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Plus, he can talk. I mean, he's a gifted, speaking actor. I think in Hellboy, I think he was disappointed he was Abe Sapien, correct?
Yep.
Yes, and he did the movements, and they had David Hyde Pierce do his voice. And I think his manager got upset and said, no, he can act just as well, and worked in the contract. So Doug got to be the speaking voice for Abe as well.
I love that story.
Yeah. Much deserved, very gifted. And I believe he says that when Billy gets his mouth cut open and he spews all the insults to Winifred, that was his ad lib.
Nice.
And the moths were real.
The moths were real.
They were in a trap inside his mouth.
Gnarly,
which is crazy. Yeah. Talk about more practical effects. That would be frightening for me.
I think I see some people up there. Let's jump to another question.
Oh, got more questions.
Binks. Your thoughts on
my God.
Yes, he likes belly rubs.
Do you guys want to go pick up your sandwiches for a little bit?
We'll be over here. Just let us know.
Quiet, everyone. I'm being interviewed. Yes. Yes, young man.
Your thoughts on catnip.
My thoughts on catnip?
Yes.
I love it.
Excellent.
300 years. You know, you'd imbibe in some sort. I've tried all sorts of things. Catnip is very wonderful. It keeps me relaxed. And yes, I love it.
It's a modern...
It's yes, mod thing, yes. Before all your marijuana, yes.
I mean, if we're just throwing out fantasy ideas for a better Blu-ray special feature, I want a Binks commentary track. Just Binks' perspective of the movie and character.
Sure.
You can narrate anything, Binks.
Can you is this a question for the cat or the cast, real quick?
No, no, this is a question for the cat.
Okay.
It's
for the
okay
cat, you said
yeah, we just need to know who needs
I'm
to be
in his
character.
Answers. No one ever asks him any questions.
Don't worry, I got y'all. Were there any souvenirs or things on set that you guys were able to take home, or was there anything that you wished that you guys were able to take from set as like a memory from the movie?
Oh, I do. I wish book. I kept the red cape. Yes. Oh my gosh, it was tailored to me. I don't know if I was offered it or I'd said no, but for some reason I just have a memory of me saying no. I didn't want it, which is weird, because it's such an iconic piece of, you know, costume history. But I was able to keep my earrings. There's just this little like antique earrings that Allison wears, and I got to keep those.
Awesome.
I got to keep one of the, well, I got to keep the green bike.
Should have taken the candle.
What's that?
You should have taken the candle.
Should have. Didn't really light a black flame. That was all movie magic.
Yeah, that was not real.
Recently, I was digging in my dad's garage because he's like, oh, I have all this stuff here that I collected over the years. And I have the tie-dye I was wearing.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. I was like, hey.
You should be bringing that to conventions.
I actually am starting to do that. Nice. This is an original shirt from the time we were filming here in Indiana.
Nice.
And it's in pristine condition, so same with the tie-dye.
Oh, is this what he found, too?
Yeah.
Amazing.
All kinds of stuff.
Also, cool kudos stuff. For still being able to fit into them.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Jason, you were in a sound booth for most of your stuff, but did you get a chance to take anything from set as well?
I took all the equipment and the microphones. Yes. No.
And the script.
And the script. I should have taken the script.
I have a call sheet,
I might have
actually,
it.
As well.
Ah, okay.
And the script. My mom saved it.
Nice,
so,
nice.
Yeah.
I have to do some more digging.
That's actually very precious.
But I might have one of those.
I'm sure too. Your dad saved it. Your dad and my mom were very
He's
similar.
A hoarder, so.
It looks like Sarah might be back.
Sarah!
I have one last question.
Binks, please.
What is your opinion on Red Dot?
My opinion Binks. On Red Dot?
Like the tiny little laser red dot.
Oh, I thought you meant that.
You chase lasers, basically.
The grocery delivery service. I love that, too.
That was Pink Dot.
That was Pink Dot. Oh, yes. Well, about 150 years ago, it was Red Dot.
Oh. And it faded over time.
It was left in the sun too long and became Pink Dot. Much older than you, boy.
True historian.
Those are extremely annoying. It's there, and then it's not there, and then it's up on the ceiling, and it's up on the couch. I can't, and I grab it, and I can't actually feel it. Yes, it's very, very annoying. Dirty, dirty trick you humans do to us cats.
I'm not a human.
All right, I see someone
else. I remember.
There's another woman.
Any more questions?
Do you guys ever meet pets that are named after you?
Yeah, I meet pets named Omri all the time.
Characters you.
It's very common pet name. That's actually where my parents got the name. Our dog was named Omri, and they were like, "What's the name of Omri?" So yes, to answer your question.
You or your characters, whichever. Do you ever meet any of them though?
Not for me. No one wants to name any of their pets Allison. I've heard
Allie the cat?
Danny, of course.
Yeah, I've heard a lot. Danny every show I go to, there's definitely like a handful of people that come up to me and say, oh, we named our black cat Binks. And I have this imagination, I picture a neighborhood and all the cats are getting together and they're like, oh, there's a new guy. Hey, what's your name? Binks? Say what? That's my name. What? That's my name. What? That's my name.
I had a
ginger like a black
tabby.
Cat gang. That's
Binks and like 12 cats come running down the driveway.
I gave my cat the middle name Binks. He was the ginger tabby.
What's his first name?
Thaddeus. He passed.
Thaddeus Binks. Oh. Yep. Rest well, Binks.
Aww.
Thank you.
People may not have named their cat Allison, but I bet money someone named their cat Yabos.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Almost guarantee it. Is there another question up there?
We got another question.
Yes, we do. Do you guys have any hobbies outside of acting?
Oh, you have my problem. Stick up on your toes and speak in the mic. There you go.
Do you guys have any hobbies outside of acting?
Any hobbies outside of acting?
Many?
Omri's? Omri, what do you got?
Oh, I mean, hobbies-wise, I love board sports. I love the great outdoors. That's kind of my thing. That's what I do for hobbies. And I don't know. I'm working on a company right now. That's not really a hobby, I guess. It's kind of more of a passion and a pursuit. So, yeah. Next.
I will indulge in anything my son loves. So bicycling, hiking, yeah, basically any of that. Listening to music. It's great. I enjoy any time with him.
I'm like one of those jack of all trades, master of none. I play guitar awful. I play drums awful. I make sourdough bread. I can make macarons. I bake
I
a little bit.
I can make sourdough too.
Yes.
It's so fun.
Yes, yes, yes.
Easy.
Yeah. I've made T-shirts. I mean, I'm just always like, you know, in exploring different things. It changes, you know, with the seasons. Yeah. How about you guys? A lot of hobbies?
No.
No?
No. Oh, okay.
You got a thumbs up.
I got a thumbs up. They're hobbies. All right. Excellent, excellent.
Does the other one have a question, or is she just there for moral support?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
What is your favorite scene in the movie?
I think I already said mine, but what is your favorite scene?
I don't have one. I'm sorry.
It's not when you're killing it on that drum set
just
in your bedroom.
There you go. Yeah. Playing the drums.
There
you
go.
In my bedroom. That was my favorite scene.
I love the musical number. I'm a sucker for musical numbers. So when
yes.
she sings, I put a spell on you.
You know what? That one was
and
really
good. And that took 2 days to shoot, that one?
Really?
That was
At
amazing.
Least.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just as magical and just as fun as it is on screen. It was just loud, boisterous the whole time, and I'm sure everyone in the audience had some sort of connection to Kendi, some sort of dance background, because they were all just fabulous and embodying every character they were, mm-hmm. so, you know, because everyone dressed up as something.
And if I recall, I don't think it was in playback. I think it was all played live. So that band was a
yeah.
real band
nice.
Playing... the music, not recording of them and, you know, mocking them playing.
Yeah, that's what was so exciting.
What's your favorite scene?
The one where they fly away on the mop, the broom, and the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that fun? That's fun.
It's pretty cool. Cool to watch that being filmed, too, because that was, like Vanessa said earlier, all done physically,
yeah.
not necessarily with... They did some green screen stuff, but most of it was done on the soundstage with, like, wires, harnesses, pulleys, and just dragging these witches back and forth, and it was, like, live action. It was pretty awesome. Movie magic's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the how they had to do it multiple times, sometimes not getting it between. So
yeah,
rough.
Those harnesses.
Harnesses in general, and then having to wield something... It was not as easy as it looks, so they did a great job.
Yeah,
it's a great question.
Thank you.
Yeah,
ladies.
Both those questions.
I have a question that I'd like to ask any actors.
Three.
Oh, there's more. Oh, wow. Oh,
we
man,
more.
There's more lining up. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. We wanted to know, what is your favorite and least favorite roles you've ever been in before?
Ooh. You know, it changes all the time. It's like picking your favorite and your worst child, I suppose. But I only have one, but he's always my favorite.
And your worst.
And your worst.
And my worst. Also
always the worst. He's my worst and favorite at the same time.
One of my favorite, and I'm so pleased he wore the shirt. One of my favorite experiences I ever had was working on Erie, Indiana. I love talking about it. It was like making little Twilight Zone movies, and we worked with some great filmmakers
Amazing.
And actors. Like, I learned a lot in that process. And I think the worst thing, this is going to sound awful because it was such a good gig, but trust me, it got a little tiresome. I was the voice for Disney Channel for a little while. Coming up next, it's this, followed by
you
that.
Were?
Only on, it was
nice.
Toon Disney.
Yeah.
But I tell you, when you have to enthusiastically plug something for 4 hours, it can get old real quick. And I was doing it for months on end, and I think enthusiastically got myself into a depression. It was not fun after a while, so I removed myself from that situation.
Well, this movie ranks really top in my my favorite characters I've played, and but the tippy top is Eyes Wide Shut, because it changed my perspective of acting growing up as a kid actor, you think there's one way of acting because you just really have to perform now and not waste any time. You have to be kind of a perfectionist, so that allowed me to not be a perfectionist and just play around, which was so fun because I just discovered a new way of being as an actor. And of course, Stanley Kubrick and that movie and just everything, it was just, he just believed in me and thought I was going to do great things, and so he was kind of like a mentor to me in my life, so that is one of my top favorite experiences. And then I feel bad saying this, but I think we were too sensitive because we know how hard it is to make a movie, and the least favorite experience is not necessarily having to do with the people involved. Sometimes it's like the money people involved, or, you know, people behind the scenes that are making it difficult, or even like one of the main actors. So there's kind of a bit of things happening in this movie that really didn't do well called Stag Night, but I got to visit Bulgaria, but there were a lot of accidents that were happening. People weren't protecting. We had to be running in underground, basically in a subway, and some of the railway was missing, and people fell and like hurt themselves.
Oh,
it just was scary to me. And then I did not like, but this is just more funny than terrible, but I did not like the fact that I had to have a scene where cockroaches were crawling all over me, and was hundreds and hundreds of cockroaches. What? And wow, I did not know I had a fear of cockroaches until that movie, and I was just, I think I had to have like, you know, detox afterwards or something. I don't
She's
remember
still
how.
In therapy.
I really am. I just am a West Coast girl. Like, I didn't grow up with them in the streets of New York or anything, so I was just like, oh my God. So anyway, these were trained cockroaches to crawl over me at a certain point and crawl over my body.
No.
So that was my least favorite thing. But
they crawl on your face?
Yeah, no. On my face. No. But I'm like, how do you train these freaking cockroaches? But anyway, but thankfully all of us survived in whatever way, me emotionally, some people physically. And I am closer to some of the actors on that movie because of it, because we bonded over it. But anyway.
Trauma will do that.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I'm lucky to have worked on so many great movies with so many people, and whatever difficulty it was, it's just something that's a faded memory now. So yeah.
I kind of feel like what I can remember from what I can remember. I feel like the characters I played in most things that I did were basically just an extension of myself. So I never felt like there was something that was the worst that I did. I mean, each experience was different given the scenario that I was placed in, but I just kind of felt like I was playing myself. So I don't really have like a best or worst gig. I feel like everything I did was just super fun. It almost never seemed like work. It just seemed like playing around, you know, doing my thing. I think the only time, the worst thing for me always was just having to like learn lines and practice prior to, because I just wanted to be a kid and go out and skateboard and play basketball and do stuff like that. And then it's like, no, you got to sit here and like, you got to learn your 10 pages of lines and monologues and whatever. I was like, God darn it, this is not what I want to do. But yeah, I don't really have a bad, I never had a bad experience, personally.
Yeah,
we're lucky. Lucky for me.
Someone's got to pour cockroaches on you and then.
Sure. I didn't even like, you know, I never even worked with who might be considered like difficult actors. Like I never got that experience either. Just seemed like everything was always flowing. Maybe it was just my zenful, amazing energy that just brought the, you know.
Or maybe you were the difficult actor and everyone else was like, oh my God.
I think you're right.
Steer clear of Omri.
I've been told that I'm a difficult person to deal with, so.
Nah, we love you over here.
Silence!
Do we have another question up there? Oh, they're all fishing. Oh, okay, there we go.
We got more people.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. So, Binks. No, I'm just kidding. This one's for all of you. Who is your favorite Sanderson sister?
Sarah.
Of course.
I think for me, it's Sarah, too, because I got to see her actually, because I'm hiding behind her in the line where she says, "Ooh, my lucky rat tail, just where I found it." And I just saw her practicing over and over again and just like in the mood and doing her Sarah-ness. And I just was like, she's pretty cool. And of course, I love her as a person too, Sarah Jessica. So yeah.
Oh, Sarah. Absolutely.
All right.
Aww. This is funny. Interesting.
Three for Sarah.
Yeah,
three
I was going to say, all right, we got about 5 minutes. Let's see how many we can get through. Next.
Speed round.
Oh, yeah.
Speed round.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Next.
I was wondering.
So difficult.
I was wondering how much of the movie was actually filmed in Salem.
About 2 weeks worth?
Yeah.
Mostly so out of a four-month shoot?
It was a three-month.
3 months. Okay. 3 to 4 month shoot. 2 weeks were done in Salem.
Yeah. All the exteriors.
A lot of
much.
Exterior stuff, yeah.
The graveyard. Yeah, I mean, most people know more than we do what's shot there. They visited all the locations. I love it. Yeah, you have? Okay. Yeah, that's what I hear. Right on, right on. There's a tour, she's saying.
There's a Hocus Pocus tour in Salem now.
Yeah.
I can't even see who's speaking.
Yeah. I see a giant light, and there's a voice coming from somewhere where the light is.
There she is. Yeah. Hello.
Still can't see her.
There we go. I see her now.
All right, next question.
Hi. I'll be real quick, but I wanted to tell you that I work in a veterinary office, and every once in a while somebody will bring in a cat named Binks. So it really does happen. And also this has nothing to do with Hocus Pocus, but I just think it's interesting that both of you guys did TV series with Patrick Duffy.
Yeah.
And right. you also, right. Jason, worked with Sasha Mitchell.
Me too.
Who played the older brother of John Ross. So
look at that.
That's
that
where
crazy?
My mind went. So I thought
and,
just 2 degrees
and I know Patrick Duffy. So.
And
Duffy.
And Jason and I worked on Eerie together.
Yes.
But like, no, we're like
so it,
brothers
so it's
from
unanimous. Patrick Duffy's an amazing actor.
Patrick Duffy's awesome.
He's a great,
great
person.
Guy.
He's
awesome.
Great person. Hilarious. Great guy. Yeah. So I love
yes.
him so
yeah.
much.
So when you guys want to do a Dallas panel, just I'll be here all weekend.
How many of the Binkses that were brought into the vet were because they were hit by a bus and then reinflated themselves?
Oh, no. You know what? I work in an animal emergency vet, and I see some stuff.
No, all right. Next.
Thank you
Binks,
for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping everyone
yes,
with their fur babies.
Absolutely.
For Binks.
I did
especially.
Hear now that because black cats are almost notoriously like unwanted to be adopted because of superstition, but now it seems to be the case thanks to Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, look at you. Changing
that's
lives.
So
and,
cool.
and the sexy voice. Yes, I'll take credit for that.
All right, next question.
Equality for all cats.
How often do you hear that you were, like, Hocus Pocus was the introduction to scary movies for kids?
How was it, would you repeat that, please?
How often do you hear that Hocus Pocus was the introduction to scary movies as kids?
Oh, I don't really get told that directly, but it's pretty obvious when we see you guys come to our table and you have your kids with you and all, of all ages, that it seems to be handed down from fan to fan.
I've heard that lately at these cons, for sure, that people start with Hocus Pocus and go from there. It's the gateway drug.
Sure. Yeah.
The gateway scary
the
movie
scene,
drug.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it definitely was for me because I was not a scary kid. I did not like scary movies.
And did
I
it
still
scare
don't
you?
Like
did
them.
Hocus Pocus scare you?
The first time, yes. After that, it was fine.
Yeah, it's downright sinister.
PGR.
Yeah.
PG/R.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. I think we have time for two or three more. So if anybody's already in line, that's pretty much it.
The ladies are back. What's going on?
It's a question for Binks. Does he like wet food or dry food better?
He's a vegan.
Sometimes I take the rats and I dunk them in milk. Yes. Softens them.
Right? Sounds delicious. A
what
rat
is
milk?
Your favorite horror movie character?
Favorite horror movie character?
Well, technically Wizard of Oz is a horror movie because I told you I'm too sensitive. I can't watch movies. But definitely The Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
My favorite.
I always like Stripe from Gremlins.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
pretty good. Okay, great. Kind of liked Pinhead from that and Pennywise. Yes. Something for scary clowns, you know.
I had to ask Jay what those words are. I am scared, seriously.
Hellraiser.
How I belong. Hey, thanks for welcoming me.
Show your kid Hellraiser. I'm sure. Yeah.
She'll be ready for Hocus Pocus after that. For sure.
Right.
Next.
Oh, I don't even know what question you were gonna ask.
Oh, mine wasn't that important. For Jason.
Close it with his question.
No, it's not that good. It's a question for me. It's a question for Banks. I'm only here because I love Full House. Was Bob Saget actually nice to work with, or is that just a rumor?
Bob Saget was an outstanding human being. He treated me like I was part of the cast. I've never worked on a show where anyone went out of their way to include me in like dinners and outings, and he was hilarious and wrong in so many ways. And I'm so thankful I got to share space with him.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, there's, you know, someone's a good person because there's never someone who's not ready to say a bad thing about somebody, and you couldn't find a single person that had an unkind word about Bob when he passed. No. All right, last question up there.
All right, question for Vanessa. What? Real quick, what was it like working on a Hills Have Eyes remake?
Oh, it was amazing. I don't know if everybody knows this, but we shot in Morocco in the middle of the Sahara Desert. And so the actual hills, when lit up, were very spooky, amazing. And obviously a new entire culture that I'd never been to before, never been to Africa. Alex Aja, the director, was the first director I ever worked with who was younger than me. but he was an amazing visionary, and these guys would understand that most of the time when you're, you know, working as an actor, you rarely get the chance that someone just knows that who he wants in the cast. And he said, these are my cast members, this is my family. And that was it. And we just were straight offered that movie. And his vision for the movie was amazing. I don't know if you've seen his other movies, but
I love High Tension.
High Tension's so good. And that's a movie I watched, okay, everyone. I did, and I liked it. I liked High Tension, House of Tension. He was just, you know, believed in all of us and really thought we could go the extra mile. And for that scene, he was really concerned that we were okay while we were doing that scene, but he's like, can we go further? Can we go further? And I was like, yes, we can. And I just think he had this amazing vision to kind of bring it to the next generation of Hills Have Eyes fan and just pushed it even further. And it's I think that's why everyone loves it.
My favorite out of all of them, like top five remakes for me.
Yeah, thank you.
I just had to ask.
Hey, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess the question I was going to ask, I like to ask this of any actors, but is there a specific movie performance or any performance that was the moment that you knew you wanted to be an actor?
Oh, gosh. I don't have to play. Go ahead.
No comment.
All right.
Right, because you're what, three?
Yeah, exactly. I knew from the day of conception.
Actually, I did this horror movie, funnily enough, that was my mom's friend's horror movie called Home Sweet Home. I don't know if anyone saw it. It's with Body by Jake. Body by Jake. He was a scary guy. And I remember him. I was only 4 doing this movie. This was before I actually technically started acting. But I remember him being in a hallway, coming in and having his scare moment where he was like, "Rah!" And I heard the director go, "Cut, okay, do it again." And I was thinking, why is he doing it over and over again? Oh, and then all of a sudden it came into full vision. This is a movie. Like, even though I'd been working on it before, I thought I was just playing around. Like, there's a clown in the movie. I was like, he's my best friend. And I said, I loved him on screen. It wasn't written in there because I actually loved him. I literally did. He was my, I was like, had a crush on him because he did all these tricks and like, you know, magic tricks. And I was smitten. But that was the moment where I was like, oh, he's actually doing something over and over again to get the right moment. And I was only 4, but I recognized in that moment, oh, this is what it's about. And I kind of knew I wanted to do it. It took me a while to convince my mom, but eventually did.
Nice. Jason?
Well, my parents convinced me, or it was their idea, really. We moved to California, and it just sort of happened. But before that, I think when like Nickelodeon first hit the airwaves, and I'd watch like You Can't Do That on Television, and I thought you had to say a boat, you know, to be an actor. I didn't realize they were Canadian. I was like, oh, that looks like fun. I want to do that. I want to get slimed and do all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah, so
you know?
Fun.
Yeah, and then when we moved to LA and it was presented, you know, then I got really excited. Like, oh, I could definitely be part of this. And family ties, always like sort of like Michael J. Fox. I think that it's like I could do that, you know.
Perfect. All right, well, let's give one last big round of applause. Go and check them out at their tables, get some autographs, get some photos, and then when you've got like $10 left, come to my table and buy a t-shirt or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com. Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.